myself. You're living a God-honoring life. And he's filtering out all of those dishonoring things that might have crept their way into your mind and into your spirit. You see, it's not hard in such a way that will honor him. Now I'm starting to understand the context. God-honoring and God-given desires are rooted in confidence and contentment. And they spring out of a God-honoring life. And so then we find verse 4. God-given and God-honoring desires are cultivated by a delight in God. You look up that word delight. The Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. And so when you look up that word that's translated delight in the Hebrew, these are some of the meanings that you come up with. To be relaxed. Or to be refreshed. And here's an interesting one. To be spoiled. And so here's what the psalmist is saying. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find your refreshing in his presence. Find your rest. Find your relaxation. Spoil yourself in his presence. You see, the more we experience his presence through his word and in times of prayer and in times of fellowship and in times of intimacy with him, the more that we do that, the more relaxing and refreshing it becomes. Did you ever wonder, and this is just a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer this, but did you ever wonder how folks who maybe are a little bit more mature in the Lord, folks who have lived for him for a while, I used to be amazed. People could literally pray for hours. And I would try to pray and I'm fumbling after 10 minutes trying to think of something else to say. I can't be the only one. Did you ever wonder how on earth they must be really disciplined to be able to spend that much time in prayer? They must be really, really hardcore disciplined to be able to read the Bible like they do. No. What the only thing they have discovered, that it's not just a matter of getting through it. Oh, I'm just going to do this. It's not a chore. They have found, man, I'm actually more relaxed in his presence. I'm actually refreshed when I'm in his presence. When I delight in him, it's not a chore for me. It's not a matter of just knuckling down and pushing through. It's a matter of, man, I'm going to pray because I want to spoil myself. I want to indulge myself in God's presence. That's a different way to look at it, isn't it? It's not a chore. It's not something that we just plow through out of some kind of religion. Well, I guess I need to pray. What do you mean you guess you... See, here's the thing. The psalmist is not chiding us. He's not saying, you folks need to pray more. He's not coming at us and disciplining us or fussing at us because we don't spend enough time in God's presence. Instead, what he's saying is, oh man, let me give you an invitation to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you only knew the delight, if you only knew the refreshing, if you only knew the relaxation, if you only knew how spoiled you'll feel in his presence. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we find ourselves delighting in him and being revived and refreshed and renewed and relaxed and spoiled in his presence, all of a sudden, those desires of our heart, oh man, God put them there out of intimacy with him. He has no problem fulfilling a desire that he gave to me to begin with. I would never have wanted that for myself. But I find myself desiring things And I don't know where it's coming from. Well, if it's coming out of a place of intimacy in his presence, let God have his work. Let God do his thing. The fourth thing I want to point out to you is also from verse 4. God-given, God-honoring desire. Not only is it something that is cultivated by God in desire, but the fourth thing I want us to recognize is God-given, God-honoring desire is given by God himself. Read it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart might be formed with delight, but they are fulfilled by God himself. See, God will not give us a desire so that we can make it happen. He's not going to come to you and put these desires and these longings and he's not going to put that in you and say, okay, I'm going to give you this desire for direction for your life. Now figure it out and make it work. And so when God plants a desire for something, when God is leading us and speaking to us by giving us a God-given desire in our heart, he's not giving us a checklist of things to accomplish. Instead, he is putting the desire there that he himself desires to fulfill on our behalf. He stirs within us desires that he himself intends to fulfill. Well, Pastor, how do I know that this desire, I'd like to think that they stem out of confidence and contentment. I'd like to think that they're rooted and grounded in my delight and my joy, and I'd like to think that, but I'm not sure that this desire in my heart, it doesn't seem to be sinful, but I'm just not sure it's from God. Well, you know, here's one test, and this is not fallible or not infallible, but one of the ways that thing, that desire within you, one of the ways you might know it's from God is if it's impossible. If God will put something in your heart, if God will begin to stir you through God-given desire, and it's pointing you in a direction that is absolutely unattainable for you, God might just be behind that. When you don't have the ability to make it happen on your own, and yet it persists, God might be up to something. He just might be stirring something within you that is beyond your ability to perform so that he himself can accomplish something on your behalf that you could never accomplish on your own behalf. Now, that only makes sense. When we delight ourselves in him, when we spend time with an infinite, all-powerful God, a God who can speak worlds into existence, when we're finding our delight in the God of the impossible, it should not surprise us when impossible desires begin to find their way into our spirit. You see, because in doing that, in placing an impossible desire in your heart, he's only giving to you a desire that is consistent with his very own nature. Get that. But you know, this can't be from God. It's impossible. It just might be. Because remember, you've been talking to a God who's infinite. Well, there's no, where in the world is this crazy thought coming from? This can't be from God. Just relax. Just relax and be confident. The God who can speak universe into existence just like that has the ability to speak into your heart something that is so impossible for you that when it actually comes to place, guess who gets the credit and the honor for it? There's no way you could have made that happen. And so this God-given desire, sometimes if it's impossible, it might just mean that God is up to something. I'm going to read a quote. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite writers. Anybody else like C.S. Lewis? I love C.S. Lewis. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said in his book, The Weight of Glory. All right? It says this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Woo. And so I hear the echo that says, our God is infinitely, abundantly able to do more than we could ever hope or imagine. That thing in your heart, that desire that is placed there, there's nothing unscriptural about it. It doesn't harm you. It doesn't harm anybody else. You just can't get away from it. But it is an impossible thing. You don't have the credentials to make it happen. You don't have the expertise to make it happen. You don't know all of the right people who could pave the way for you. And yet it persists. In the natural, it is an impossible desire. That shouldn't surprise us. When an infinite God places an impossible desire within us, he just might be at work. The fifth thing I want us to understand, still within the context, God-given and God-honoring desire is matured and realized in God's timing. Psalm 37:5 says it this way, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Notice the psalmist does not put a clock. He doesn't put a timer on the action and the fulfillment of God-given desire. Boy, I wish he would sometimes. I wish sometimes I could just say, well, if it doesn't come to pass within 3 months, it must not have been God. It doesn't always work that way. When you're talking about a God who exists outside of time, see, a day for him, 1,000 years, all the same. That's discouraging to think you might have to wait 1,000 years. But to an infinite, eternal God, that's absolutely nothing. And so God has given you that desire that seems impossible. It seems there's absolutely no way that that thing could ever happen. Just relax. Be confident. Be content. Find your delight and your joy and your rest and your hope in him. And if that thing persists, not only trust him to bring it to pass, but trust him to bring it to pass the way he wants and when he wants to bring it to pass. Psalm 37:7 reinforces it, and it says this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So this takes us back to that whole idea of the importance of confidence and contentment. We sang it this morning. I think it was the very first song. I was like, whoa, they've been reading my notes. When they were putting the music together. You see, God is never late. I have to remind myself of that quite often, actually. Because I get myself all worked up and I get myself in a frenzy. And because I exist and can only exist within time, I get all messed up when an infinite God doesn't work within my timetable. So I have to step back and say, he's never late. Even if Lazarus has been dead for days, he's never late. See, some of you, that desire was so big and so impossible, and it's dead now. He's never late. He's never late. He's always on time because he sets the time. And so, when we're trying to understand this idea, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's not a license to just run wild and hope for anything you want and think that God somehow has to bend himself to what we desire and what we want. That's not it at all. But when we understand that that God-given desire takes place within context, it takes place when we understand that I am confident, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I know that God is at work in me, and he will perform that which he has said. I'm confident of that. And I'm content because he loves me and has only my best interest in mind. I don't have to be striving after things that I think are important to me, but I have to understand whatsoever things he has brought into my life and allowed into my life, that is what he has for me, at least for this season. I can rest in that. I don't compare myself to other people and compare myself even to what I think I need. I find my rest and my hope and my confidence and my contentment in what God has done and is doing in me. And if that desire persists, though I delight in him, if that desire persists, and most especially if that desire is completely unattainable otherwise, just wait. Just relax. Just trust God to do the impossible. So how does God speak? Yeah, he speaks through his word. But sometimes God will place within your heart a desire. A desire. We all could tell stories. Or maybe we could. I know I could. Tell stories of God would place a desire for this or that or certain thing in my heart. Or I didn't know if it was God at the time. I just knew I had this desire. And then the opportunity came. And when the whisper occurs and the prompting nudges me and the desire is birthed in my heart and the opportunity is presented, God might just be up to something. I've also had opportunities presented to me, and I would pray about them and I would lay them before the Lord. And I would consider opportunities, but God gave me no desire. Several years ago, I'll just tell you this story. This is a practical example of how this might work. Several years ago, you may not know this, but in my other job, I work with Christian colleges and universities. And in the process of doing that, you get to know people, you know, you're building relationships, they trust you, you're helping them to work through all kinds of issues with accreditation and all that stuff. And I had this, the president of one of the schools that I work with, this has been about 5-6 years ago, he called me, and he said, it's a really good school, really good school. He called me and he said, I have an opening in my administrative staff. I want to talk to you about coming to work for us, coming to fulfill your ministry here at this particular location. And I said, wow, that's an honor. I feel, mate, that's, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to my wife. People, you know, sometimes God will speak through people, especially those that know you and love you and trust you, you trust them. So we talked about it. We prayed about it. And I wanted to want it. You get that? I wanted to have a desire for it. That way it would have been that shove that I needed in that direction. But I didn't want to do it. And I said, Lord, is this lack of desire on my part, is it something that I just need to pray through? And it's like, no, it's an opportunity, but it isn't me. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean it's sinful. It was just an opportunity without a desire. And so I called him back and I said, man, what an honor. Thank you so much that you have that level of confidence in me, but I'm just going to have to decline. But what that means is that God has someone different and someone better and someone right. And so I pray for you in that process. You see, that's the way it works. The whisper and the prompting and the confirmations through people and the desire, all of it in alignment with his word. And eventually, he starts to get through this thick skull, exactly what he has for me. You probably don't have that same kind of thick skull, but it just might work that way with you as well. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure if what I'm hearing or what I'm sensing is really the voice of the Lord. Man, run it through the filter of Scripture. If it makes it through that, let God confirm it. Someone said that to me just this morning. I'm waiting for some confirmation. Wonderful. Let God confirm it. You see, that's how He works. That's what He... Remember, He wants His will for you even more than you want His will for you. He will speak. Are we listening? Amen? All right, that's all I got. Let's stay. Oh, you never know, do you, Brother Fred? You never know how it's going to come across. Bottom line is this. God doesn't want us wandering and aimlessly struggling around trying to find purpose and direction for our life. No, no, no. No, my friend. He loves you more than that. He wants to give you the answers you need. He wants to bring the direction to your life that you seek. He really does want that. And He is pulling out all of the stops. I mean, He'll whisper to you if that's what it takes. He'll shout if that's what it takes. He'll bring you to your knees in pain if that's what it takes. He'll send people into your life who can confirm if that's what it takes. He'll nudge you and prod you in certain directions. And He may just give you a God-given, God-honoring desire in the context of trust and confidence and love of Him. He might just do that. And so my prayer for you is this. As you walk through life, listen, you may not be facing a decision right now. You may not be in a place of lack of understanding right now, but that time will come. And even if you don't find yourself in a place of confusion, just living for Him day to day requires Him to speak to me if I'm going to be right where He wants me to be. Even in the mundane things, I need His voice. So just understand, He's not silent. He's not silent at all. Our challenge then becomes, okay, Lord, help me to still the other noises, the other voices. Give me an ear and a heart of discernment so that I can know Your voice from every other voice. My sheep know My voice. If you're His, you know. You may not be able to point out all the reasons and tell everybody all the hows, twos, and the why. You may not be able to do all of that. But it's like I've said before, if you're His sheep, if you're His child, and He's speaking to you and prodding you and whispering to you and guiding you and confirming and giving desire, if He's doing that, you'll know it. You'll know it in your knower, right? You'll know it in that part of you that just know. I can't tell you how. I wished I could explain it. I wished I could give all of the details. I can't do all of that, and it seems a bit subjective, but I know it. How do you know? Because I'm His child, and I know His voice. And sometimes His voice will come with desire. Amen? Lord, pray blessing on Your people today. Understanding for Your people today. Discernment for Your people today. The ability to hear and to know what we're hearing. Not only do Your sheep know Your voice, Your word says they will not follow another. Lord, don't let us be distracted and follow after things that are not Your voice. But help us to see and to know and to understand the many ways that You're speaking to us and guiding our lives, and let us live accordingly. In Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you this week with opportunities, blessing, confirmation, discernment. I love you guys. Be blessed today. Amen.